Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Harry Palmer opens the next chapter of Office Wife.
I'm up here on the witness stand at the moment, and it's the worst moment of my life. I gave my evidence about the letter from Puller. Then the prosecutor started asking questions about Jeff and Stella Bronson. Well, I put on a show of proper reluctance, of course, but I managed to pitch it pretty strong just the same. When the prosecutor was finished, up jumped Jeff's counsel, Guy Stubbs, the KC, you know. He's been hammering away about the letter, question after question. And he's just dropped his bombshell. I don't know which way to turn. Listen to him.
Your Honor, I suggest that the jury be instructed to bring in a verdict of not guilty and the case be thrown out of court. This witness is lying. Your Honor. Such a letter does exist, and I put it forward now as an exhibit. The defendant was authorized by Mr. Benjamin Puller to draw check payable to Mr. Joseph Barker of Port Kensington.
Will you kindly read the letter to the court, Mr. Stubbs?
If it please the court, I would first like to ask further questions of this witness, Palmer.
As you wish.
I put it to you, Palmer, that you knew of the existence of this letter from the outset.
There couldn't be. I know nothing about it.
I suggest to you that you and some other person or persons have deliberately concealed this letter in order to discredit the defendant.
Mr. Stubbs, I should like to hear evidence on the authenticity of this letter and also why it was not brought forward before.
Very well, Your Honor. I shall call evidence to show that a conspiracy exists and that this witness was the instigator of it. The defendant is the victim of a carefully laid plot.
I wish you would confine your forensics to the final address, Mr. Stubbs, and call your evidence.
Yes, Your Honor. I would like to recall Mr. Benjamin Puller to the stand.
Mr. Benjamin Puller! Mr. Benjamin Puller! Mr. Benjamin Puller!
Now, Mr. Puller, have you examined this letter?
I have.
Have you ever seen it before?
Never.
But this is your signature.
Undoubtedly.
Let me understand you. You admit that this is your signature, but you say you've never seen the letter before.
That's right.
You did not dictate it?
I'm telling you, I've never seen it before.
Then how do you account for its existence?
I cannot account for its existence.
You can put forward no suggestions as to how your signature comes to be on a letter you've never seen before.
None whatever.
But you agree. But having once read this letter, the defendant was justified in drawing checks against your account in the manner he did?
It certainly looks like it.
I'm not asking you what it looks like, Mr. Puller. I'm asking you...
Yes, all right, I agree to that.
Very well, Mr. Puller. You may step down. I'll call Miss Stella Bronson.
Miss Stella Bronson! Miss Stella Bronson! Miss Stella Bronson!
So you deny that any understanding between you and the defendant ever existed?
Yes.
And apart from the normal comings and goings of office routine, there were no meetings or secret arrangements, whatever?
Certainly not.
Very well. Miss Bronson, where were you on the night of February the 20th?
I was in Harry Palmer's flat.
For any special purpose?
It was my intention to get Palmer out of the way and search his flat.
And did you?
Yes.
Tell the court what you found, Miss Bronson.
In a drawer of Palmer's desk, I found that letter.
She's lying. It was never in my desk. She's lying. I tell you, she's telling a pack of lies.
I will not tolerate interruptions, Palmer. You will be removed if you speak from the body of the court again. You may proceed, Mr. Stubbs.
Thank you, Your Honor. Miss Bronson, will you tell the court why you withheld this letter until you gave it to me this morning?
Because Harry Palmer contrived this whole affair. Because he wants to ruin Jeff Pilgrim and marry his wife. Because I had hoped that the sudden exposure of it might make him betray himself.
Mr. Stubbs, this is not evidence, and I cannot permit it to enter the record.
Quite so, Your Honor.
Miss Bronson, you may step down.
But it's true. Palmer's the one who should be in the dock, not Jeff Pilgrim. It's an absolute outrage.
Miss Bronson, you may step down. If it please the court, Your Honor, I shall call the defendant, Jeffrey Adrian Pilgrim, to the stand.
On January the 16th, I was in my office in the Bendigo building from 9 o'clock in the morning till well after 5 at night, with the exception of an hour at midday. Francis Grubb has already testified to that yesterday.
Very well. Did you have a confederate who rented the post office box for you?
No, I had not.
Do you know anything about the post office box whatever?
I do not.
Do you know anything about the checks you had authorized to be drawn in favor of Joseph Barker?
Once I had passed the invoices to the accounts department with the proper notation on them, my responsibility ended. I neither saw the checks nor do I know what became of them once they were posted according to the company's system.
Can you account for the £2,000 that was paid into your account?
I cannot.
Is it your money?
No.
You lay any claim to it?
Certainly not.
And you have no idea how £2,000 of the money paid by Tressiter Bendigo and Company to Joseph Barker came to be in your possession?
I don't even know it's the same money.
Jeffrey Pilgrim, are you in any way at all guilty of committing this fraud on Tressiter Bendigo and Company?
No, I am not.
Thank you, that's all.
I have no other questions for the defense.
All right, Palmer. While the prosecutor's cross-examining him, let's hear from you. What about that letter coming out of your desk?
Mr. Bendigo, I swear she was lying. Stella Brunson was lying.
If the letter didn't come from your desk, where did it come from?
From Stella herself, of course. She could have tripped that letter out of Benny Puller by putting a blank sheet of paper in front of him to sign with a lot of other letters. She had his confidence. And for a woman as shrewd as she is...
It's a possibility. Yes, it's a possibility. But I'm far from satisfied.
Surely, Mr. Bendigo, you don't think there's any truth in that story of hers?
I have grave misgivings, Palmer.
But, sir,
No, it's no use arguing. I'm suspending you at the office until one or two points are cleared up. You needn't report in the morning.
But confound it, sir,
need not report in the morning. If and when I'm satisfied, we'll reinstate you. But I don't want to see you in the Bendigo building till I am. Is that understood? I'm going back into court. I want to hear the judge sum up. But let me tell you something first. If it ever comes out that what Stella Bronson said in court was true, well, heaven help you, Palmer. That's all. Heaven help you.
To conclude my summing up, gentlemen of the jury, I must remind you very strongly... The onus of proof rests not with the accused, but with the Crown. You have heard evidence that the defendant was authorized to draw checks in favor of Joseph Barker. If you are satisfied in your own minds, without any reasonable doubt, that the defendant knew there was no Joseph Barker, took the post office box himself, or with the help of a confederate, collected the checks from it, paid them into some bank account under a false name, and was then inconceivably foolish enough to draw £2,000 of the money and pay it into his own bank account. If you are convinced of all these things, then you will find him guilty. But the prosecution has adduced not a scrap of evidence to support such a belief. And so you must have very grave doubts of the defendant's guilt. He denies all knowledge of the money in his bank. Held the court notes.
Well, Stella. Pretty fidgety, eh? How long has the jury been out now?
2.5 hours. Oh, Benny, can't you leave me alone till we know whether Jeff's found guilty or not?
Why should I? For your information, young woman, you're in very deep water. When did you do it, Stella?
When did I do what?
Get my signature on the blank sheet of paper for the letter.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you should do. You managed it very neatly, I'll say that for you.
But if you think that's where the letter came from, why... Why aren't you doing something about it?
Because I put my own interests before the abstract administration of justice. Have you any idea what I mean, Stella?
Denny, I can't stand this. Not now. Can't it wait till a jury come in? I'm so strung up.
I should think you would.
You can't prove I did anything.
That I can make things pretty tough for you and your boyfriend. Can you suggest any reason why I shouldn't?
The way I am now, I couldn't suggest anything. Why does that jury have to take so long? Benny, please, I don't care what you do. Just wait till this trial's over, that's all. Then you can do what you like. This waiting, waiting, waiting.
Yes. Well, it looks as though you won't have to wait much longer. Here they come now. Remember, Stella, whether Pilgrim goes to court or not, you're not getting away with what you've done. Not completely.
Gentlemen of the jury, have you reached your verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
Do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
We find the defendant not guilty.
He's free. I don't care what Benny Puller does now. I don't care, Tubbins. Jeff's free. Benny kept quiet about the letter because he wants a hold on me. I know that. But what does it matter? Nothing matters a scrap. And as for you, Benny Puller, well, you can do your worst, but they can't try Jeff Pilgrim twice for the same offense. So, here we go. Let's face it.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.